Denodo Data Bytes. Hello everyone and welcome back to Denodo Data Bytes. I'm your host Neha and today's episode is part 2 of our special series on scaling innovation and data. This time, we are focusing on a topic that's critical to enabling true data democratization, unlocking self-service with data marketplaces. In our previous episode, we spoke with Kevin Bohan about how organizations can create trusted, reusable data products to power everything from analytics to AI. If you missed that conversation, be sure to go back and give it a listen. It sets the foundation for what we are exploring today. Because here's the thing, a marketplace is only as good as the products it offers. So how do you get those data products into the hands of your business users, data scientists, and AI applications quickly, securely, and at scale? That's exactly what we'll unpack in this episode. And joining us is Kevin Bohan, Director of Product Marketing at Denodo, to help break down how governed, user-friendly data marketplaces are helping organizations unlock true self-service and drive value from their data like never before. So without further ado, let's dive in. Kevin, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
So let's dive right in. So my question for you is, data marketplaces sound great in theory, but what are they really like? And how are modern platforms like Denodo redefining what a data marketplace looks and feels like?
Sure. So think of a data marketplace as an internal storefront that makes it easy for anybody in the organization to find, request, and access data products without needing to get a technical resource, the IT department involved. A lot of talk in the industry is around data literacy. And, you know, you read the articles and, you know, what can we do to improve the knowledge that the data consumers have so they can consume the data, better and things like that. And I think that, you know, they're often written as like, you know, the end user doesn't know enough or they're not doing something right. And I think as data professionals, we probably have to take a step back and ask ourselves, you know, how much is it the end user and how much of it is the way that we're delivering, the way that we're providing the information to the end users. So what Denodo has done is reimagined the whole experience for the data consumer and provides a true e-commerce style approach to delivering the information. So imagine, you know, or picture, you know, your typical experience logging into a site like Amazon. You'd log in and you're going to have recommended products that might be of interest to you based on previous searches that you did or, you know, previous purchases or accessing you did. You're probably going to have recommendations from them on trending or popular products. When you start reading about the product, there's the proper information that explains to you what it is and, you know, tries to let you understand if this is going to address your needs. You're able to see endorsements from other people who have purchased that product before and used that product and letting you know, yeah, this is a good product. If you're questioning something, you know, in Amazon, you can ask questions and you'll have responses to your questions based on or coming back from usually the vendor, you know, the owner. But sometimes it's also somebody else who's using that. All of these are things that we as consumers of anything are starting to expect of, like, this is what our experience should be. Well, the Denodo product and its marketplace experience delivers all of what I just spoke about. When you connect into the system, you see, things that you've accessed recently. It's going to make recommendations. You're going to see trending data products that others are using. You're going to have all those same things I mentioned around endorsements, asking questions, getting feedback from the data owners. All of those things that make the experience for the user that much better. built into the experience too, to make it easier for, you know, the data owners as well, is like those requests that are coming in for asking questions, providing feedback, reporting data quality issues. All of that's managed, so it puts it into a nice, easy to use queue where you see, you know, what's waiting for you and you can respond. So it makes it easy for them to use. And what it's providing is a full feedback loop that drives greater collaboration. It allows the consumers and the data owners to collaborate and iterate and improve what's being delivered, those data products that are being delivered to the end user. Another key aspect to this, marketplace type of experience is what's being presented. I said, you know, when I was talking about the experience, you know, you see a description of, you know, the product to see if it satisfies your needs. Because of the semantic layer that's built into the Denodo platform, what happens is what's being presented to the business user is business-friendly terms. It's not using, you know, the archaic naming that's part of a database that makes sense to perhaps the database administrators, but doesn't make sense to a business user. They're getting the information presented in business-friendly manner and things like that to further drive the simplicity for the data consumers. There's an assistant, a Gen AI powered assistant that's going to help them with a number of different tasks that they might have to do when they're in that environment. One of the capabilities, it's really a nice capability to simplify things for the average business user, where they can use natural language and ask a question of the data and have the answer returned directly to them. It could be as simple as they're looking for a total, but they could also be something where it's going to generate a long table, and then they're able to then share that information in perhaps an analytics tool or a spreadsheet that they're using. So there's so much more to it, but at a high level, there's a lot of capabilities that are really simplifying the experience for the end user, putting it in a context of something that every one of us is probably accustomed to, and that's shopping online now and going to different e-commerce sites and matching a lot of the features that we as consumers have come to expect when we're looking for something online, to really make it easy for anyone to explore and find the information they're looking for. So I know that was a bit of a long answer, but I think it paints a picture of what we're striving for. And what's important here is a lot of people, I think, are more organizations delivering a data catalog that's more designed for technical users and not really that business user in mind.
No, it definitely does paint an image of like what data marketplace is for users and how it kind of ties in with data products and how it makes it much more user-friendly for business users to access information. So thank you for sharing, Kevin. So one of the biggest challenges organizations face is balancing self-service with governance, right? So how does Denodo approach that challenge in its marketplace capabilities?
Yes, I think that's an excellent question, and thanks for asking it. I think one of the things that probably slows any kind of self-service project is just what you asked, is, you know, people are hesitant because they're not sure they have the proper security and controls in place. The Denodo approach and what makes it a bit unique, I mentioned, a lot of people are doing with the data catalog and that, but Denodo, you know, was originally founded on really a data delivery platform, bringing together different distributed data sources. And the marketplace experience is built atop that data delivery platform. So within the marketplace, they have direct access to the data. This is cool from a consumer standpoint, meaning, you know, they just don't see a description of a data set, but they can actually do a query and see the actual data and say, look at all the fields, that's the information I'm looking for, and all of that. Again, you know, that's not going to the point of, you know, how do we do the security? But I mentioned also, too, the semantic layer that allows the extracting the complexity of the underlying technical infrastructure to what information is presented to the end user. But in that semantic layer, what we can also do is put in additional metadata about different information. So say that you have a view that you're sharing and happens to have credit card information in it. You can define that particular column is personally identifiable information. You can, on the whole, view, because you know it's sensitive information about customers, put a tag that this is, you know, customer information. And these tags might be helpful for the user, but when they're doing certain searches, you know, I'm looking for customer information, or but also what it can be used to in our system is you can, from a central, you know, governance and security point of view, define global policies to say all personally identifiable information should have it treated this way, or users in a certain role should have a, you know, have this information masked from them, where users in a different role can have the information presented to them, or only show them the last four characters of the credit card, or whatever the policy you want to apply, and leveraging the metadata that's associated with the information within the different data products, you can control these things from a central location. So, and that could be on role-based access, but it also can be on attribute-based access controls. So not only you can define that information, but you can perhaps, if maybe you have data sovereignty rules, that you can access it when you're in the office, you know, in Switzerland, but you can, you can't access it when you're traveling and, you know, perhaps in North America, or, you know, things like that. So you can get very granular in that, and it makes it much easier because you can do it on a global policy for all you know, all of the information that's tagged in a certain way. So that helps. It also, the platform works in conjunction with the security that resides in each of the different data sources that you are accessing. So this is an additive layer atop of the existing security you have in place. It's not necessarily bypassing anything, which is nice, because the governance and security controls you have in place are already in, you know, already still being partly factored into this, or not partly, but being factored into this, where in other approaches where you're making duplicate copies and things like that, sometimes you can lose some of that security and control on top of it. So built into the platform is a robust set of security and governance controls that are applied regardless of how the information is being accessed by the users, and by, you know, and it can be very granular on the user level, role-based level, or even attributes based on the information in the system. So it's very robust.
Thank you for sharing, Kevin. This is really insightful. It was wonderful to know more about this. So we've discussed how, like, you know, data marketplace supports users, right? You've given us a few examples, but can you give us an example of how a data marketplace supports not just people, but also Gen AI tools like intelligent agents or co-pilots?
Sure. So in many ways, if you think about it, an LLM looking to access corporate information to add context, to add, you know, proper color around a response that they're providing, in many ways is a lot like a data consumer. So the fact that that semantic layer is translating, you know, the complexity of how the data is defined within inside of tables, within inside of applications or databases, to the language that's more accustomed to what the end user would use, that's tremendously helpful for the large language module too, because that's going to be common to how they're asking the questions. The detailed views and field descriptions that help an end user understand, oh, this is the right table and these are the proper fields I should be using, that's shared with the LLMs as well, and they're able to identify the best information as well. And then I mentioned, you know, about the Denodo assistant that, you know, will help do certain functions. It can do those definitions, it can do those descriptions, and build it in a way that is helpful for an end user, but is also very helpful for the LLM. So the information is generated such that the you know, generative AI applications are going to have huge success there. The ability to pull information from various sources in real time means you're having more up-to-date information supporting operational use cases, not just something that took place, you know, several hours ago or the day before, but real-time operational use cases. So in many ways, you can see that all of the capabilities that I talked about earlier about, you know, that marketplace experience and delivering the information in a user-friendly mode is beneficial in an LLM. Now, they do differ in many ways as well. So do they really need a pretty interface that looks like, you know, a shopping cart experience that they're used to on an e-commerce site? No, not at all, because they don't care. They're able to deal with, you know, massive volumes of raw data and things like that. So that's not really a part that they're looking for. But what we do is we provide the experience that is necessary for an LLM and, and what that is, you know, many people, they take an approach like, okay, well, we'll take the information we have and we'll do embeddings and put it into a vector database. But keeping up with that and being able to do that in real time is probably impractical. You can probably have it in batch modes and it won't be real time. You couldn't support those operational use cases I'm talking about. So what we do is we'll put the metadata about the different tables and views and field descriptions, all of that into the vector database. So now they're only looking for what's the best source, and they'll build SQL to go and extract the information and then generate the response. So they do a step before it to pull out the appropriate information based on the metadata in the vector database. And the metadata doesn't change that often. So, this is the interface that an LLM would need rather than that pretty, you know, e-commerce type of experience. But what we do to, again, make it, you know, a positive user experience is, there's going to be an AI developer that's going to basically have to do some complex things around, you know, vector databases using LLM orchestration tools like LangChain and all of that. And the problem is all this technology is relatively new, and a lot of companies are having problems either getting their staff up to speed on that or finding the appropriate people that have the skills needed to do that. We offer something we refer to as the AI SDK. And you could think of this as the pretty experience for an AI developer. And what it does is it breaks down a number of common patterns that you would do or need to do in order to build that agent or co-pilot that you asked of part of the question. And what it does is maybe a half a dozen to a dozen different REST calls that are very easy. Any developer that knows REST can make these calls, pass it the natural language of the question, and have the response returned to them. Everything I talked about of, you know, pulling out the appropriate metadata, building the query, executing that query against distributed data sources, bringing that back, all of that's handled by the Denodo platform. All that complexity is hidden from the AI developer. And what they simply have to worry about is, you know, okay, I want to do a call that puts the metadata into that vector database. And now I just simply, in my, you know, API call, I pass the question, it gives me the response back. And it makes it very easy and very simple for the person. So it simplifies the development process, much like the marketplace simplified the exploration and accessing of data for that data consumer. So it's a, we thought through the experience for everybody. The experience is just different if you're an LLM or an AI developer than if you're a data consumer.
Perfect. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks for sharing, Kevin. So my final question for the day is, how do you recommend organizations get started with building a data marketplace? And what should they avoid when rolling one out?
Sure. So I, if you heard me on previous podcasts, and you certainly have because you're the host, but other listeners, my advice is always, you know, think big, understand what your vision is, what your goals are, but start small. You don't have to build a marketplace that's going to have thousands of products, but what is that product that you can make available that is going to be used by a number of different consumers? get it in front of them, understand, you know, am I doing the appropriate tasks as far as documenting it appropriately? Does the user understand how they can use the system to, to better understand and access the information and all of that? And you can put the appropriate guardrails in place around, you know, what you want to do from a governance standpoint to make sure that the documentation is done appropriately and things like that. And like I mentioned, we have Denodo Assistant that's going to automate many of these tasks. So the proper guardrails can be as simple as, hey, if you're creating a new product, make sure you use Denodo Assistant and click the button to say automatically generate the documentation steps and things like that. But you put the proper guardrails around, so when the users are adding things to the catalog, you're adding all the appropriate information that's going to help those end users, but it's also going to help the the AI developers and the LLMs if you're building out then, you know, co-pilots and chatbots like the last question asked. So adding that product, adding the next product. Don't try to boil the ocean, put everything in there, but roll it out for specific projects so that team's getting benefits. When you add a couple more products, then there's a new team that's going to gain value. And you can do it as an iterative process, rolling it out team by team and providing them the products they want rather than trying to do this big bang and now everything's in there type of scenario. Once you start getting a couple of those wins, the momentum's going to get behind it where other teams are going to come in, they're going to start populating their own information in there and they're going to put their own products in there. And this is where you start really getting that federated benefit and not having everything go through a single team. So that's my advice. Think of it, you know, in the big picture, but then pick those ones that you can get those quick wins, show people the value of it, promote that value, and success will breed the success that you need.
Thank you, Kevin. This was a very insightful episode indeed, and it was great to understand like more about a data marketplace in terms of like a business user and also how, you know, they can interact with like co-pilots and AI. So that's a wrap on today's episode on Denodo Data Bytes. Big thanks to Kevin for joining us and shedding light on how data marketplace can unlock true self-service. So thanks again, Kevin, for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I always appreciate being on the podcast.
And if you've liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe and head over to denodo.com/podcast for more insights and resources on all things data.